Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Come on, every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, it is all happening on Monday, April the 18th, 2022. You had to say a great game would be an understatement between Boston and Brooklyn yesterday afternoon. Great game. Yankees, a disastrous weekend in Baltimore. Mets, very workmanlike. Great starting pitching. That's what they are. Alonso with another couple of RBIs. And there's so much going on. NBA postseason rolling on in. Rangers now tying for first. Islanders, say it with me, eliminated from postseason contention. Sadly, the passing of one of the greats in the history of the game, Mike Bossy, happened after we signed off on Friday. Before we get to any of it, we say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. I listened to your show on Saturday morning. Sounded great.
Really?
I didn't care for the fact that he didn't know who coached the Celtics. That bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, but I think that's a fair mistake.
But that's not your fault, though. I mean, you got a lot going on. I mean, I'm getting text messages during Stump Rothenberg. How does Dave know all this stuff? Like, my
really?
Hockey buddies. Oh, yeah, I'm like, he's a savant. I get it. They're like, no, this is incredible. So everyone's waxing poetic. So you're doing your job. I mean, I talk about just the machine gunning tweets. Ty with the NBA playoff tweets. He can't. I mean, the guy loves to talk. He can't just, you know, dip in. Hey,
jump Dave. In my ear and be like, it's not Stevens anymore.
Yeah, like just for a quick sec, even if he wants to jump on and say it. Hey, Dave, I know you got a lot going on. By the way, Brad Stevens doesn't coach them anymore.
Right. You know what's funny is I got it. Like, I was so locked in that Brad Stevens was the head coach. I got a tweet from a guy finally saying, like, Stevens is not the head coach. And I was like, what a fool this guy is. I'm like, Stevens isn't the head coach. And then I was like, wait a minute. He's not. That's right. And then, of course, it's Udoka, and he gets the win yesterday. But, yeah, listen, even greatness has moments of lack of clarity, and that's what I had during the Saturday show. But why do you have to point that right out?
Well, no, because you're rectified, because I was going to try to do you a solid, because, I mean, me and you are best friends. I'm listening, like I always listen. So I'm like, you know what, I'll text them. And I'm like, no, I mean, he's got Jake and Ty. I mean, Ty can't wait to talk. Ty, I mean, he'll just tell Dave in his ear. He'll get on the microphone and just say, hey, Dave, you know, you're wrong. But no. And you wonder why the poll, the comment box, all that stuff doesn't happen.
Because he's so focused on his on-air.
That's it.
Yeah, but if he's so focused on his on-air, then why not, when you have a moment that you could just jump in to clarify a wrong made by me, why not do it?
I think the moment was too big for him.
Really?
I think it was too big for him. I think he writes his stuff down. So now all of a sudden, on the fly, you know?
Really?
He's going to make stuff up? Yeah, it's troubling, really.
Wow. Well,
not as troubling as Damer, I'll tell you that. I got a couple problems on Monday morning.
Damer is,
he's relentless, this dude. Relentless.
But not only is he relentless, he's foolish.
No,
I would use to think of
it's Gordon not Damer. Even, he is, I mean, first of all, he is, I mean, he's good at what he does. I'll say that, because it does, like, it infuriates me as I'm listening to it. But he's right now a Yankee apologist is what he is.
Well, there's
make
no,
clear
there's,
as day.
There's zero chance that he could apologize for the Yankees after yesterday.
Well, no, you should have heard him. So I'm listening. After I got done waiting in line for like an hour and 40 minutes for bread,
we'll go back to that later.
On Saturday, which was great. So I'm listening to Gordon, and he does an unbelievable job, right? Like, he's just He's setting up, going into break, what he wants to talk about, and then
did he know who coached the Celtics?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Then decides he's going to take a shot at his good buddies Dave and Rick, because this is now what his focus is now. So he starts with everyone that's fabricating stuff about the Yankees. If they wanted to criticize the Yankees, there's something just sitting right in front of their faces that they've all missed. And I'm like, damn, Gordon, that's a good tease. I'm going to stick around and see what it is, thinking it's going to be this great nugget that me and you missed, because I think we've been fair, right? Do you want to know?
So, yeah.
Do you want to know what the nugget was?
It's
with everything
awful.
Going on. With everything
it's
going on
awful.
With the Yankees. Miguel Andujar.
What does that mean?
That was the nugget.
They
didn't capitalize on his rookie season and get rid of him. Now he's got no worth. He doesn't play.
We said that about all of them.
That was the nugget. I was like, really?
That's the nugget?
We said that
about all of them. They should have done it with every single one of these guys. They've held on to them for too long.
I was like, come on, man. They got everything happening right now with the Yankees. You're going to go to Miguel Andujar as the thing we should criticize them about?
The problem. That's why they lost 2 out of 3 against the Orioles this weekend, because of Andujar.
That's why they got shut out yesterday and wasted one of the best pitching performances you'll see from Nasty Nestor. Immaculate inning.
Not only is he great, even if you don't, because I don't like the Yankees, but how could you not like him?
Well, you have to like him.
You have to like him.
I don't think you have a choice but to like him.
No, he is phenomenal. We'll get to the Yankees. We will get to the Mets. We'll get to the Rangers, the Islanders. We'll get to all of you probably, because you're a lunatic. You probably watched the USFL this weekend, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, of course you did.
Santy's boy, Jason Garrett, he's getting himself in trouble already.
What did he do?
He put, I think it was, Santy, correct me if I'm wrong, it was Pereira doing the game with him, right, Mike Pereira?
That sounds right.
And he puts him on the spot. He's like, there was a call that should have been made. And usually how they set it up, right? It's like, we're going to go to Mike Pereira. What did you think? He's like, I don't know, Mike. That's a call they probably should have made, huh? And then it was silence. Like, Pereira just didn't say anything.
Well, why did he do that to him? Or why did he not respond?
Well, because I think he put him in a rough spot. Like, he doesn't want to crit it. Like, I think it's better to set it up where he's kind of like giving you like how he sees the play, as opposed to like telling you, like, you know what I mean? Like, a direct shot at the officiating crew.
So it's a booth of three? Because it's Garrett, it's Pereira, and it's a play-by-play guy?
Well, yeah, I think they go to Pereira for the rule stuff, yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. So how was the football? Was it awful?
I was all right.
It was okay?
Yeah, but it's just not the NFL. That's the problem. It's not the NFL.
No, well, nothing is. Well, we are closing. Oh, by the way, and we'll get to the Nets and the Celtics in just a moment. Did the whipped cream go out?
Whipped cream did not go out.
No.
No, don't say that. Everything was set up, but because we had Passover on Friday and we had Easter on Sunday, my main man, gave me the, hey, just so you know, if you send it today, it's not going to get there till Tuesday, potentially Wednesday. If you send it Monday, you're looking at probably Tuesday.
So the plan's gone.
So wait a second. If you send it Friday, it gets there Wednesday. If you send it Monday, it gets there Tuesday?
Yeah, because we're all cleared up. No holidays. He said, come in Monday. I said,
How is that even humanly possible? If you send it later, it gets there earlier?
Well, I guess it wouldn't go out, though, because of the holiday and stuff. And I can't fly it. I got to drive it. I upped it to, it's not 8. I went 12.
12, nice.
Trying to find a box is a problem, but I commandeered a box. I did get the, at Sop and Shop, I did get the, again, the...
You say commandeered, I think like someone was pushing a box through like Stop and Shop. And you're like, excuse me, sir? Here's my badge, my whipped cream badge. I'm going to need that box.
It's a unique box. It's kind of it's tall. This cooler I had to buy is a little taller, so I can fit the 12 in.
So is it ready to go?
Oh yeah, it's all ready to go. I got to drop it off. Yeah.
Okay.
I got as I was self checking out the. It's a lot of whipped cream. You having a party? I'm not having a party.
The person behind you?
No, it was the because they have the one person that works there that's kind of overlooking the self checkout in case the machine. You know what I mean? Someone doesn't do it right, or you don't, God forbid, you don't put the item in the bagging station right away. It all hell breaks loose.
So what I don't understand is, why do they have that one person there overseeing the self-checkout? Why doesn't that person just open up a line?
Well, because that one person's going to jump in, and then they got to press a little thing, and then you can continue to, just to make sure no one's cheating the system.
I will tell you this honestly, and I don't think it's because I'm old. I hate that self-checkout.
I can't stand it.
Because it never works properly.
No, never works properly. Now you start sprinkling produce. That's a problem. It's just too much.
Yeah. At CVS, I'll attempt to use it, and it's always a problem. It's like someone will be right with you, and then there's no one there. There's no one here.
I'll tell you who else I tip, too. someone bags your groceries, you're getting a tip.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'll tip anybody.
I go in for a full panty shop, and someone's helping me bag. Oh, you're getting a tip.
I did a great shop, a quick fill-in great shopping on Saturday morning. Oh, phenomenal.
So you went show, then you went grocery
after
shopping?
The show, I went show immediately after the show, shopping immediately after the shopping, walk of the dogs.
You've come a long way. I'm going to say it. I'm proud of you.
Walk of the dogs.
By the
Alex,
way, too.
As we're going on this walk of the neighborhood, Alex has given me play-by-play of the Mets and the Diamondbacks. Yep. Did it all.
Okay. After we go 8:02-ish, I'm saying today, 8:02-ish or during the break, whenever you'd like, I'd like you to share the name of the person that chastised you at the dinner on Friday. Because I got a real problem with him.
I got yelled at. And I stand by.
This guy, a tough guy all of a sudden.
We're at this. You want this story now?
No, save the story. But it aggravated me on Saturday because I heard it. Does this animal not realize this is your job?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you later. I'll give you the full story in the 6 o'clock hour. And you're on my side now. You'll be even more on my side when I tell you the story at, say, 6:30. Even more on my side at 6:30.
Well, once I heard the time, too. I mean, what are these people doing now?
Oh, it was ridiculous. I was incensed. And it was a nice time, but I was incensed. All right, let's get to the game from yesterday. There's so many layers to unwrap here. Firstly, great game. Secondly, Kyrie being Kyrie. Thirdly, if Boston loses that game, and I don't know if you agree with this, it's hard for me to envision they win the series. Now you're the Nets. You're in a huge game, too, and you don't have it till Wednesday night.
Yeah, which is a problem, too, by the way. I mean, we're going Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. I mean,
it's
what are we doing?
Ridiculous.
Come on, man.
I mean, there's no travel, and I go from Sunday to Wednesday for game two?
Yeah. I mean, and if you're Kyrie, do you want to be in Boston that many days after what happened on Sunday? Yeah, because I was listening to a lot of people afterwards, too, like, oh, that's a real gut punch for the Nets. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess because they lost, but could you imagine if the Celtics found a way to lose that game?
Well, they did their best. I mean, they almost did. They were awful for the first, 9 minutes of that fourth quarter? Boston was brutal.
Well, yeah, in that fourth quarter, I mean, the Nets went on a 22-6 run. I mean, they're down 11. They end up up 5. Then late in that game, Kyrie hits that 3. And listen, for the most part, the Nets defense was better than we've seen it in the regular season. Like, they were clearly more locked in, which is great.
But it was not good.
No. The last two possessions for the Celtics, primarily the first one, where Jaylen Brown just runs
awful.
Down and lays it up. I get you don't want to foul. Don't give up. At least make him earn it a little bit.
He went right in. You bring up a good point. From the moment Kyrie hit that shot, which was what, like 48 seconds, something like
45.
That? 45 seconds. Brooklyn was awful. They were terrible. They allow them to come down, lay that ball in, cut it to one. Then they have an offensive possession, which
not
I thought
great,
was dreadful.
Awful possession.
Was dreadful, and then they give up the layup at the buzzer. For those final 45 seconds, I mean, to lose that game in regulation, leading by 3, is a brutal loss.
Yeah, it's a brutal loss. But again, I mean, if you're the Nets, I would say that, you know, your takeaway from this game is obviously Kyrie is just phenomenal. I mean, 18 points in the fourth. He's unbelievable. But KD offensively wasn't great. He didn't shoot well at all, right? So he'll be better. And you still only lost by a point. Like, there's some, now it's negative because you lost, but there are some things that happened in the game you can say to yourself, well, he'll be better. This guy will be better, which would lead you to believe that moving forward, no, you can bounce back from this one.
Maybe. I mean, I think game two becomes just a monster game. Because do you really think they're going to, I guess they could because they're that talented, that they're going to win 4 out of 5?
The Nets?
Yeah.
Well, no, but here's the thing. You're supposed to, I'll say this. Game ones of series, when you're on the road, are usually the one that is the most stealable for the road team. So game two, they're going to have their hands full. I mean, that goes without saying. But, I mean, you look at Durant, 9 for 24, had 23 points, but still didn't shoot well at all. 1 of 5 from 3. Bruce Brown did not have a good game. He had 5 points. And Seth Curry only gave you 9. So, I mean, for a fact KD's going to play better.
You would imagine
that's going to happen.
Yes.
And those other guys have to find a way to contribute. Dragic had a good game. I thought he played well. KD defensively was pretty good.
They were very physical with him. Like, saw their game plan coming into that series. We're going to hammer this guy.
Yeah, the refs let it go, which, I mean, as a fan, I like. But that game was, yeah, that was old school physical. Marcus Smart is,
I like him. I mean, Marcus Smart basketball. If he's on your team, you love that guy.
Yeah, you love that guy. And what a heads up play, too. I mean, that last possession for the Celtics, for Marcus Smart to have that kind of poise, to pump the shot and then make that pass to Jason Tatum, and then you had, I mean, Durant, Dragic, and Kyrie just ball watching, and then Tatum to have the presence of mind to spin off and lay it in. But that game was incredible, man. It really was.
Did you like the fact that Udoka did not call a timeout late stages?
I mean,
you like it now, but at the time, were you like, wait a minute, get a timeout, or you say, like, just go?
No, I say just go in that moment, especially because, I mean, Brooklyn's defense isn't good anyway, but they're probably a little bit better if you give them a chance to set it up in the half court.
Right.
But that was a crazy possession, man. That possession was all over the place.
Yeah, it was all over the place, and I mean, it was a perfect ending to it. And I mean, you couldn't have scripted it better. So they get out with a 1-point win.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's take a listen. Here is Kevin Durant on the loss in game one yesterday.
They still sting, you know, even though we know it's a series and they sting and you want to move past it. But, you know, it's going to be good to look at the game and see where we can get better. And we understand this is a series and we got another opportunity to come in here and get a W on their home floor. So we got to try to, you know, move past this one and still look at film from this one, but move past it and get ready for game two.
Yep. Game one, very rough loss for Brooklyn. Here is Jason Tatum on that game-winning shot at the buzzer.
I wasn't sure if they would have put some more time on the clock. I knew I got it before the buzzer went, but the first thing that came to my mind was how much time they're going to have left. And that just happened so fast. But we'll take it. It was crazy. You know, everybody was on their feet. We just got a big stop. It doesn't get any better than that. A buzzer beater playoff game at home in front of our fans. Yeah, that's probably the loudest I've heard it as well.
That was something else, huh? That whole game was just phenomenal yesterday, wasn't it?
It was an amazing game. It really was. I mean, that lived up to all the hype, all the expectations.
And that's only game one.
Well, yeah, because you got the backstory with Kyrie going back to Boston. You could see the vitriol. If you're wondering what they were saying, you found out after the game during the post game where Kyrie decided to tell you exactly what they said to him. I was like, why can't I hear Kyrie? And then they come back, and then he drops another F-bomb. I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, because you got to
cost you a couple bucks.
Blurt him out.
Well, you had the bird, and then you had the behind the head double birds, and then you had the swearing in the post game. See, I'll say this though, because I think part of what you said is true. Had he just, you know, after the game, said, you know, this is what it's going to be, you know, whatever about the Boston fans, and just kept it to that. That's great. But for me, I mean, for him to engage the fans. Because every athlete likes to pretend like, oh, yeah, I don't hear what they're saying.
It's only going to be worse in game two, no?
Well, dude, I'm telling you what, the guy answered the bell, man. Guy answered the bell.
Well, he's great.
I give him tons of credit for that because there's a lot of guys, I mean, that would take that on and then would crumble under that kind of pressure.
You think Ben Simmons gets that kind of reception and he goes out there and gives you 39?
No chance.
No, absolutely
not. If Boston's smart, that's exactly what they'll do to Ben Simmons, too.
Of course they will if he returns in this series. But I guess my question, we'll hear from Kyrie in just a moment on what went on. Why are you responding like that?
Well, maybe he uses it, man. Some guys do stuff like that. Like some guys embrace
that. What, as motivation?
And they use it for motivation. I'm going to shut these people up. I mean, apparently it's not. I mean, I guess we don't. He told us we don't catch it. I don't know how that's possible because I watch every Nets game. But this is something that he does a lot.
It's like Waldo. It's like, when is Kyrie giving the bird to the fans? I mean, he had that really nice one where he went the double bird right behind the head.
Well, he was doing the birds. Then he had the fake crying. Like, he was fully engaged.
It's like masterpiece theater with him last night.
But he was awesome, man. He had 18 in the fourth.
He was awesome. He is awesome.
8-0 run.
I mean, that's why they deal with this guy. You think if he was some mediocre player, they would deal with all the baggage that he brings? He's awesome.
How about Kyrie saying, though, that he just said, let's put this behind us. You can throw some, why don't you throw some of the highlights of me in Boston up on the Jumbotron?
Yeah. They are not putting this behind. They detest that guy.
They can't stand him. Yeah, they can't stand him.
I think a lot of people can't stand him.
I think he rubs a lot of people in the wrong way.
And don't you think if he says nothing and does nothing in post game, it's like, what happened? It's like it's just constant with them cursing and awful things they say to me, that he would be for once a sympathetic figure?
Yeah, I don't know if sympathetic. I mean, I think it's just I expected him to be treated like that. Now, some of the stuff they were saying is just over the line, and it's nasty.
Well, it's over the line, but you can't respond like that.
Well, listen, you can respond if you're going to go drop 39.
Well, is that your response, though? That's your response.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're good enough where you can give it back and still go out and destroy them on the court or the ice or the field or whatever it is, more power to you.
Yeah, and he's able to do that. You don't need to do this extra little step. All right, here is Kyrie, a little back and forth about exchanges with the fans from yesterday.
It's nothing new when I come into this building, what it's going to be like, but it's the same energy they have for me, and I'm going to have the same energy for them. And it's not every fan. I don't want to attack every fan, every Boston fan, but when people start yelling and you and all this stuff, it's but so much you can take as a competitor. You know, we're the ones expected to be docile and be humble and take a humble approach. Nah, that's the playoffs. This is what it is. You know, I know what to expect in here, and it's the same energy I'm giving back to them.
From a basketball standpoint,
yeah,
you feel like the hostility you get.
There's no hostility, bro. It's basketball.
When you were flicking some people off, I'd say that's some hostility.
From what? What point? Are you guessing that that's hostility? Or like, well, hostility for me is like growing up.
Well, we've never seen that from you this season where you are running down the floor flicking people off.
It's the first time you actually caught it because it's a big time game. I respond in different ways. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to focus on that. If you want to ask me questions about the fans, go ask them. Go on the street and ask them questions. All right?
But I'm asking from your perspective, from a basketball perspective, do you feel like the hostility that you get?
It's not hostility,
fans,
bro.
Do you feel like the energy you get from fans in this building
embrace
brings
out
the best from you?
Embrace it. Embrace it. It's the dark side. Embrace it.
He always says things that make you shake your head wondering why is he going down this path.
Well, it's just a waste of energy is what it is. I mean, that's what I would tell him. I mean, it's just a waste. Don't waste your energy. I mean, the only way you affect them, you giving the finger or anything else, that's not doing anything to them. You going out and do what you did, 39 points, and had you won the game, that's how you get back at them.
That's all you have to do.
It's like you tell your kids all the time, right? Like when you know, Milo's busting Ella's chops, I'm like, if you keep reacting to it, he's going to keep doing it.
Of course. Of course. That's the story of my house. I'm like, Alex, stop responding when he does the stuff he does. He can't help it. He can't not do it. But you know what? He's 11. Ella's how old?
Ella's 5.
Exactly. All right, this is a grown man who's supposed to be above this. And I understand it angers him, but you answered the way you answered. You had a great game. You don't need to be flipping people off during the game.
See, I don't mind that. I don't. Because he responded with the 39 and was unbelievable in that game. Especially in the fourth quarter. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is you're Kyrie Irving. It's like the same problem I have with Aaron sometimes. It's like, you know everything you do is going to be scrutinized. Like, you're at that level. So, I mean, anything Kyrie did on the court back in Boston was going to be talked about and asked about after the game. Like, to go into that press conference, which he clearly didn't want to, like, he's like, it still amazes me that we have to answer questions right now, but that's part of the business. Okay, yeah, that is part of the business, Kyrie. Like, what made you think that after giving the bird twice to fans, doing the cry thing and everything, that they weren't going to ask you about it?
Of course you're going to be asked about that. And you should be asked about that. Do you know what happens if we are discussing this today? And Nick Friedell doesn't ask those questions? You're like, why do they even send a reporter there?
And that would piss me off if I was Nick Friedell, too, because he's had a lot of, he covers a lot of the Net stuff to say, well, you've never seen it. Well, yeah, Nick Friedell's at almost all the games. What are you talking about? He never sees it.
Have you seen it? I haven't seen it. Well,
I haven't seen the figures, no.
But he didn't say, like, I give the double bird all the time. He was like, I answer in my own ways all the time. So maybe, like, under his breath, he's saying stuff. Who knows with this guy?
Well, they all do. I mean, KD does it. KD will talk back to the crowd, too. I've seen him do that. But the whole notion that you're going to go into that post-game press conference and not be asked about it is crazy.
Here is Steve Nash on Kyrie and the crowd after the game yesterday.
This is a guy that's made the game-winning shot in the finals, played in the Olympics, played in an all-star game, all-star game MVP. You know, I don't know that there's any atmospheres that are really going to rattle him. That was kind of my point before the game. You know, that's not it. If he has an off night, he has an off night. I don't think the crowd is a factor for Kyrie. The guy's done about all you can do in the game.
I agree with that. There's not a crowd out there that is going to rattle him. He wasn't rattled yesterday. Maybe he responded incorrectly. Maybe you don't think so. Who knows? But he wasn't rattled, that's for sure.
No, he wasn't rattled. It was the complete opposite. Like, he used that as fuel. Which, good for him, because I wouldn't... That would not be the tack that I would take.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he is a sensational, sensational player.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full details. Gambling problem, call 877.
And there it is. And this is your own fault, by the way, because if you hadn't started the precedent where if we screw up, we bring immediate attention to it, I would have said nothing. Nothing. Let's get a little look at the traffic.
This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
.com/sportbook
on 98.7 ESPN.
But this is all you. All you. 6 o'clock hour, DPetro Rothenberg with you on 98.7 ESPN. Time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. This is all you. You think that it's great conversation to have on air when someone makes a mistake to bring it right to everyone's attention.
That's the beauty of the show. I mean, the show, we just do boring live reads. It's got to be a reason why you stay tuned to the live reads, right?
So you listen to the live read in hopes that the guy just falls all over himself?
Yeah, and you know now what Santiago was doing. Now he has his finger on the microphones ready. Once the second one of us makes a mistake, microphones go up.
Yeah, just assume that going forward.
Who makes the next mistake? See, I got to be honest, and maybe this is not a great admission by me. I'm a little nervous now. Every live read I have, I'm like, oh, God, take a breath. Make sure you're good, because if I'm not, I know that you are just a push of a button away from hearing you make fun of me. Goodyear brought to you by Goodyear with, oh, my God. Let's start that again.
I'm here to pounce all over your mistakes.
You're like a lemur.
I don't know what a lemur.
Oh, you're like a lemur.
Like scarier than a lemur?
You wouldn't want to go eye to eye with a lemur.
No, but why can't you be? You're the king of the jungle. I'm a lemur. What is that?
Yeah, that's fair. Would you like to be like a leopard?
No, I want to be a hippopotamus.
You don't want to be a hippopotamus.
Yes. I'm telling you right now, it's the most dangerous animal in the wild.
It's filthy.
No, it's not.
Who wants to be a hippopotamus?
No, I want to be a hippo.
Like that girl who wants to be a hippo for Christmas or wants a hippo for Christmas?
But I want to be the hippo. I don't want a pet hippo.
Well, maybe you could go live with her.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Yeah, you could walk in. I'm here.
I could just hire. I could hire Carl to just float at the bottom of the pool. I could,
oh,
if that's what I wanted.
God.
To put some sharp teeth in his mouth.
You'll take shots at anybody.
Well, this is what happens, though. This is what happens. Is this Gordon's fault?
So Gordon's nasty to you, makes fun of you, and you go after Carlin?
And he pretends like he doesn't know what time the show ends. I'm going to call it at 7:58.
Right. We call him the other morning at like 6:15, and then at 7:58 we get a return call from him. He's hosted the show. Of course,
he's got updates coming up. He's got updates coming up.
It ends. A terrible job by Damer.
He's on my list right now. Damer.
I thought he was better than this. By going after us. Like, you know, these guys heard fictitious boos for Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge addressed the boos and said he's been receiving them since 2016.
I thought we'd been pretty fair, man. I don't think we're doom and gloom. I realize it's only 10 games.
No, I think the Yankees will still win their 90 games and get in. But is that what you're looking for?
No, that's not what you're looking for. But you're seeing, I mean, this is the problem with the Yankees, and I know it's 10 games, but you're seeing a lot of what you saw last year. That's the problem.
That's the problem. Here's the thing. Baltimore is god-awful. They are brutal. They have one win coming into the series against you. You lose a game where you score one run in 11 innings, and that's inclusive of two innings where you start with a guy on second and nobody out. Then you fall behind on Saturday, come back, win that game fine. And then yesterday against, I mean, guys you never heard of in your life, you can't put one run on the board?
One run, they had four hits.
Well, they can't put one run on the board.
The bigger issue is you wasted a dominant performance.
Oh, how good was Nestor? The guy threw an immaculate inning.
Nestor was filthy. Filthy yesterday. Like, he had everything working yesterday.
But that's not the story.
No, the story is that they lost.
The story is you just lost a series to a team that will... Okay, and you're right. What was Tampa Bay against Baltimore last year?
They were 18-1 last season, and they've already swept them in a three-game series this season. So they are 21-1.
And the Yankees were what against them last year? Like 11-8?
11-8, that's correct.
And you go out there, and you now have lost two out of three to this team? They are awful. This is a horrendous baseball team. And I know what you'll say. Dave, they're all pros. Not that they're all pros, but they're all professional players. And you know, this is what happens sometimes. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, again, and you know, I mean, we've talked about this for how long? When you look at the AL East, in which team eventually wins the AL East, it's take care of your business against the good teams. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know what I mean? But just be above 500 against, you know, the Torontos
of the
world. Which you did.
First seven games, 4-3, great.
But then you got to beat the hell out of the Orioles. Beat the hell out of the Orioles. But see, that's another one, too. Like, they give Judge the day off in the first game of the series. Like, that would be one, too, if I'm Aaron Judge. Have you seen my numbers in Baltimore?
Right.
Like, what are we doing?
Right. And you know what I don't like either? And I mentioned this on Saturday, and I don't know your take on it, is if you're going to have a day off, have a day off.
Yeah, it's either all or not. I agree with you 1,000%. If it's going to be, like, in part of it's mental, like, it's you show up, there's no chance you're going in.
Right. I'm not going in. I could put my feet up, have a true day off. Now it's like, all right, at some point you're going to get an at-bat. So you know you're probably down in the cage taking swings. I don't understand the rationale behind that.
Well, I mean, but that's how they're selling it, though. Like, I mean, we're giving them the day off, but look what we have available on the bench. Like yesterday, look what we have on the bench.
Right,
we got Rizzo
on the bench.
Yeah, we got Gallo. Okay, great. I mean, how does Rizzo, too, by the way, how do you, in the 11th inning, how do you run into Giancarlo Stanton's ground ball when it's in front of you?
He had no idea that ball was there. None.
I don't understand how that's possible.
He might as well have been running with his head up in the clouds. He had no idea that ball was there. None.
And then yesterday, and I'm not gonna get too deep in the weeds and start nitpicking and everything else because I think there's a bigger topic to get into. But it's just when you watch the Mets play, right? And I thought, you know, yesterday that play, I don't even think the umpire knew what Buck Showalter was doing with JD Davis. I think the umpire was gonna send him back to first because he didn't know the rule.
Right. Like the ball was live. The game is live.
Well, no, yeah, like once Oliver Perez makes a move towards J.D. Davis, he can't go to third.
Correct.
It's over. So
now,
the run scores.
It looked like it was a legit tag up regardless, but you're right. Once he looks at the runner, now that you can't go appeal that play at third base.
But what I mean to my point, it's the fine little details.
Yes.
Right? So like even yesterday, I got Gleyber Torres deciding he wants to sacrifice bunt with Higashioka on deck. Like, do I want Gleyber Torres? Like, okay, you're trying to get some action going, but do I want you bunting with the bottom of the order coming up?
And that bottom of the order is bad. They are. I'm sorry. The Yankees, if Judge and Stanton and LeMahieu and who am I missing here? Rizzo are not hitting you can't expect production from Hicks. You're not going to expect production from Gallo.
Well, Hicks has been good. Hicks has been good.
Hicks
has been fine.
But you don't expect Higashioka, Kiner Falefa. I mean, the bottom of that Yankees lineup, which never used to look like this. You get there, you're like, it's unimpressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity for the starting pitcher to rest a little bit. Like when I'm looking, I mean, Higgy had a great spring, but I mean, he's off to he's hitting 120. Wiz Falefa's batting. I mean, he's 214. And then yesterday he had Tim LaCastro, who made an unbelievable catch.
That was some play, huh?
It was a fantastic catch.
But we discussed it all offseason when we would mention the Yankees. Just play okay, passable against the really good teams. Like Boston, win 2 out of 3, great. Toronto, go 2-2, fine. Go out there, at a minimum, go 2-1 against Baltimore. A minimum this weekend. And to get that, and your pitching was really good. I mean, your starters were sensational.
Your pitching
was
great.
And you lost 2 out of 3 against them?
Your pitching yesterday was as good as it gets. I mean, Nasty Nestor had, I mean, 10 Ks through 4 innings, man. I mean, he was dealing.
He had 12 through 5. There are only 3 guys that didn't get retired by the strikeout through 5 innings of this guy. He was sensational. Speaking of Nestor, let's take a listen. Here he is, frustrating putting up zeros with no run support is the question.
I mean, as a pitcher, yeah, you know, it's kind of, you know, frustrating, but at the same time, you know, I could easily be on the other side of the baseball and, you know, give up 5, give up 6, and our offense be there that day. So, you know, these hitters come out every day and do their job and try and get as many hits as possible. You know, today just wasn't the day.
Yeah, but that hasn't been the case, though. But for him,
right,
that hasn't
exactly
been the case.
Like, it's not like they scored 11 on Friday and 9 on Saturday and just had a rough day on Sunday. They could do nothing on Friday.
They could do nothing, but I mean, to his point, like I could go out there and I could just have a bad day, and the offense picks me up. Well, guess what? In your last 16 starts, 13 of them, you've given up 2 earned runs or less. Like, so you're dealing. Like, he's been their best pitcher.
And Friday night, Montgomery was good.
Yeah, the pitching in the bullpen's been great. Now they let you down, and of course it's Odor that comes
right
through in the big spot.
Well, I mean, all they have is pedestrian Yankees. They got Odor. They got Chirinos. It's like, oh, my God.
But again, I mean, it's only 10 games. I understand that. But when you take into account what you saw last year from this team, I mean, that's a pretty substantial piece of time. Like and you're seeing the same stuff. Struggling with runners in scoring position.
Mm-hmm.
Not scoring runs. I mean, this is all the same stuff.
And losing to Baltimore.
Year.
And losing to Baltimore, which to me is completely unacceptable. If I would have given you before this series 19 games against Baltimore, what do you need to do? What would you say? 15-4?
Yeah, I would say 16-3.
Right. Worst case, like 14-5.
Well, that's the other thing, though, too. I mean, if we're being honest with ourselves, and I think we both picked the Yankees to be in the playoffs this year, right?
And I still think they'll win 90 games.
And I think you're right. But, I mean, if we're being completely honest with ourselves last season, right? I mean, you had the Yankees 92 wins, the Blue Jays 91 wins, right? The Yankees' run differential was plus 42. The Blue Jays was plus 183. Plus 183. That's a humongous difference. The Blue Jays scored 135 more runs than the Yankees did last year.
Well, look at their offense. Their offense is better. Now, they lost Semien, but the Blue Jays' offense is better than the Yankees. And this is with Teoscar Hernandez that just went on the IL the other day.
Yeah, with the
oblique. Better.
So that for me is the bigger issue.
And that's without a healthy Springer all year long for Toronto.
Yeah, but that for me as a Yankees fan would be the bigger issue. I'm not going to panic because it's 10 games, but when you look at last season and take that as a sample size as well, where they struggle with the same things, like Joey Gallo stunk as a Yankee. Joey Gallo continues to stink as a Yankee. You know what I mean? Like, so there's trends now.
Yes. You struggled last year against Baltimore where you shouldn't have, and this year you said to yourself, well, that'll be remedied, and Series 1, it's not remedied. Here is Aaron Judge after the game. Why do you believe this offense will get back on track?
Especially the guys we got in this room, the track record they got, you know, the type of players they are. You know, everybody gets better each year, you know, and what are we, you know, 8, 9, 10 games into it? You know, it's got 162. You know, we just got to respond. Can't sit here and mope about it. You know, we got punched in the face today. You know, we're losing a series in here in Baltimore. You know, none of us are happy. You know, we're not happy about that or happy about our performance. We just all got to pick it up, you know, collectively, just individually, everybody pick it up, do their job, and, you know, get back to it in Detroit.
All right, so he gives you the Pat-ish answer, but the thing he said that, I mean, everybody gets better every year? That's not true.
That's not true at all. No. That is patently false.
That's just not true.
And here's the other thing. I get, like, the mindset where it's like I'm resting these guys to make sure I keep them healthy, but, I mean, let's be honest. They've tried a lot of that stuff, and there are certain guys that just continue to get hurt. Like, just take advantage right now that everyone's healthy. Right? Like, I mean, get them in the lineup as much as possible because you know at some point Hicks will go down. Like, there are guys that are going to get hurt. It's only a matter of time.
Of course there are. Let's go to Chris in Brunswick. Chris, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN, pal.
Morning, guys. I love listening to you guys on my morning ride into work.
Well, that's very nice. What do you have on your mind this morning?
It's 100% time to panic with this Yankees team and with Brian Cashman, because he's shown an inability to fix this same problem, because this isn't just the start of this year and last year. It's also the shortened 60-game season as well, because it's the same issues over and over and over again. The inability to hit with runners in scoring position, and the team has built majority of home run or nothing. And I was hoping by now Cashman would have fixed this.
Yeah, you see the same issues. You do, Rick. You see the same issues. And I think that, to me, is what's so concerning. Not even the record of 5-5, which is not the worst thing in the world. It's the issues you had last year seem to be the same ones you have this season.
Well, what did you actually address, though, during the offseason? I mean, what did you actually address? I mean, Rizzo's your first baseman again. I mean, right now you've had...
Who's fine, by the way.
No, I like Rizzo.
Yeah, I like him too. It's just, it wasn't the expectation. I'm underwhelmed. I'll be honest with you, underwhelmed with Kiner Falefa.
You see what Matt Olson's doing right now for the Braves?
He's on base every time he comes
pretty up. Pretty damn good. No, and so, I mean, basically what their season comes down to is it was the hope that, you know, guys get back to back of the baseball card. That Joey Gallo can't be this bad as a Yankee. Well,
I don't know.
We haven't seen that yet. Right, I mean, Kiner Falefa at some point you would imagine is going to start hitting. But right, Brian Cashman told us we need to address, and this is the Yankees. This isn't just some team. When Brian Cashman comes out and says we're going to address first, short, and potentially center field, like we need more outfield depth. The reality of the situation right now is that you've had three different shortstops so far this season. You had Gleyber Torres, Wiz Falefa, and Marwin Gonzalez. Do you think that's what Yankees fans thought was going to happen when he said, we need to address the shortstop position?
No, it's not. And that's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DPH Rothenberg is always presented by Progressive Insurance. And you could try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless. No, all right.
Yes.
I knew it was going to be.
Yes, crumbles. This is you are not Kyrie.
Crumble.
You're not Kyrie.
Crumble. With nationwide 5G on America's best network, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Also, I get a lot more live reads. They baby you because they give me the bulk of the reads. With you,
is the morning show too big for you?
We'll give you three, we'll give you four, and you can't even handle that. I have like 35. So, yes, the odds are distinctly in your advantage, but you messed up today before I did.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And did you hear what Santiago did, by the way? Evil. Did you hear what he did?
He had the premature splash.
He had the premature splash. And then I called him out for it. And after he goes, you did a good job there. He said, I did it on purpose to try and throw you off. So that's what we're doing now?
That's what we're doing now.
So now it's just not, if you mess up, you mess up. Now everyone is out there to try and get you?
It's game on, baby.
I just wanted to see how you'd react. I wouldn't expect me to do it all the time. But
we felt like the moment was too big for you there. I mean, you said it. You brought it up. Who's gonna
And it wasn't. I was sensational.
Well, no.
Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless. No. All right.
You were more like Kyrie that time.
Yeah, I think the point Raymond was trying to make was that when you brought it up, and then said, "Who do you think's gonna make the next mistake?" The following read is when you screwed up. So yeah, I mean, it was too big.
Bathfitterdesign.com. Right now, you'll get. No, it's too early. See, that's Santiago soiled himself there, and he did. He messed up. He plays it off as he did it on purpose. So this is how it is now. So when RJ does his little Caesar's reads later, we can stand there and mock him and give him, you know, all sorts of genuflection. No.
If he messes up, sure.
No. If you mess up, fine. But you were trying to push me down a road of messing up.
I just did it the one time.
Let's go. You want to go?
So that's where we are now.
We'll go all the way. That's where we are. Where
it's
you're not
is what it is.
You're not hoping that someone messes up. You're pushing them towards the mess up.
No, I think he's training you to deal with adversity. So you just, I mean, it's no big deal. Doesn't matter what happens, right through the read, perfectly.
And you handled it like a professional. Just, you know, give yourself a pat on the back and move on.
But I think everyone should now get that treatment. Like RJ does his Caesar's reads, and we're just like, dip, 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 dip. like ruins, me doing the show with Ryan Holland.
That ruined.
You just start bebopping away.
That ruins the point of the read, though. Then you can't even hear what the lovely sponsor wants to get across.
Well, he's playing a premature splash.
At least it's relevant to the spot.
Well, how about why don't you play the splash during his read?
Because it's not a bat fitter read.
Well, why don't you play like a casino sound or something?
I might. Maybe just for you.
Thank you.
Don't give in. Don't give in. RJ's reads have been one slip up the whole time.
I didn't say I would. Just that I'd consider
I have a perfect. Big one. What did he calls? He calls like betting on Michigan is risque. That's not perfect.
No, I said he had one slip up.
That's a big slip up though.
Well, it's a hatchet job, but I mean it's good content.
Risque. You could bet on Michigan and make it really risque. Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless. No, all right. Why don't you give me the risque? Huh?
It's weird. I don't see that one.
Yeah, of course you don't. And this is the problem. You get into battles with these guys. They have control over the sound.
Yeah, these are fights I don't fight because
all promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements.
I had COVID. Oh my god! Listen, your names are on the show. You take the good and the
wow.
bad.
Wow! You know what? I get this guy texting me. Please come back tomorrow. Please, I don't care how you sound. I don't care what happens. Please come back tomorrow. Literally, my lungs are filled with fluid. I'm slowly passing away on the air. And you guys save those drops. You're bad people.
I didn't realize how emotional you got during your reads.
Oh, you just did it 10 minutes ago. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Okay. All right. That's fine.
RJ, can we get a look at the traffic?
Let's get a look at the traffic. And I would ask for one, but I'll never get. Can we get the risque Michigan Wolverines? No. Of course not.
Oh, that's a one seed right there, baby.
This show is really awful. When is Carlin done?
With what?
With the station. He's done this Friday, yes?
Yeah, I think they've already been doing shows, haven't they?
Yeah, so great. So next Monday, I'm going to start doing 7 to 10.
You can't quit the show.
And it'll be you and Gordon.
I guarantee that's not going to happen.
So who would you take then?
I'll do the show by myself.
All right, here we go, Feather.
By yourself?
Yeah, right by myself.
Oh, sure you will.
Lots
All right, let's
today.
Get to the bets before I just laugh so hard that I have to go to the bathroom. What
Michigan plus 5,000 if you're feeling risque.
Oh, so good. You guys are a treat. All right. This Mets starting pitching is something else, huh?
Oh, it's amazing, man.
Isn't
it's amazing.
It?
Amazing. This was Jacob DeGrom, too. I mean, that in no time on Walker.
Right, who looked good in his two innings the other day.
Yeah, so Peterson gets a spot start, and he looked good. I mean, he looked
great.
Well, and he did a good job when he piggybacked Taijuan Walker.
He sure did. But you get Carrasco looks excellent, and I mean, you name them, they look great.
Yeah, McGill's been great. I think
Scherzer hasn't even been great, and he's been good.
Yeah, he's got better. You realize this is the lowest ERA
ever.
Since 1913.
And this is the lowest ERA the Mets have had through 10 games in their franchise history.
107. I like your chances when you get in starting pitching like that.
I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, there's not a starting – and you feel – actually, it's funny. You feel the same way with the Yankees. There's not a starter that takes the mound that you're like, oh, God. But every single starter has been phenomenal for the Mets. Phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't think you could ask. I mean, I think you – the one that you mentioned, I think – I mean, Scherzer's got – he's got the two wins, but I think he can. I think he would tell you that he's got better.
Yeah, well, he did not have great command in his last start, but still went out there and threw five innings of one-run ball. And that's what I love about Scherzer. You're going to get nights where he's not great, and he's still good enough to get you a win.
Well, that's the definition of an ace, isn't it? Like, that's what we loved. I mean, that's one of the things I love about Jacob DeGrom. Even like when you can tell he doesn't have his best stuff, where he gets himself in a jam, like all of a sudden now it's, you know, runners in scoring position, one out. Like, he finds a way to bear down and get out of it without giving anything up.
That's what the greats are able to do. Here is Carlos Carrasco, who was terrific in his last outing. His thoughts on this Mets rotation.
It was really good. And he's going to be like this the whole year. You know, we're missing Jake, but we got Miguel and then all these guys. So, that's good, man. Going to be fine.
If they pitch like this, they're going to waltz to this division.
Yeah, but again, I mean, this is one of the situations where it's early. I think the fact that Carrasco was pitching as well as he's pitching, I think that's huge because he was a non-factor last season for us. And that was one of the sneaky nice parts of the Lindor deal, right?
That was the extra little bit you got in the Lindor trade. And Bassett was not good last year.
Bassett's a stud.
Absolutely.
I love everything about him. And then, I mean, the fact that McGill, I was looking at some of his numbers, too, like where his velocity is at now compared to what was. I mean, he's gained 2 miles an hour over the offseason.
He's thrown at 99.
I think his average fastball now is up over 96 miles an hour on average.
And he said expect him to hit 100.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about. I mean, they got to figure out Seth Lugo. We got to figure him out.
Yeah, he doesn't look great.
That concerns me a little bit.
He doesn't look great. Chasen Shreve pitched well, though.
Yeah, he's been really good.
So, and again, I have a feeling that they'll add at least one, if not more, arms at the
I think the other question, though, and I think it's a fair question at this point, and I don't think it's an issue now, but, I mean, you did have another lineup where Pete played first and Dom Smith was your DH.
Have you seen Pete's numbers when he's DHing, by the way?
I have him right here, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
He is 357. He's got 2 doubles, 3 home runs, and 11 RBIs.
Right. He has 3 home runs on the year. All, I don't know if it's irony or not, all, or coincidental or not, all have happened when he's been at the DH spot.
That's correct.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Who makes the next mistake? I'm a little nervous now. Every live read I have, I'm like, oh God, take a breath. Make sure you're good, because if I'm not, I know that you are just a push of a button away from hearing you make fun of me. You could try the $45 silver unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless. No, all right.
Yes.
This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
I want to be a hippopotamus.
You don't want to be a hippopotamus.
Yes.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh, you might wind up living with that little girl singing about it.
That's all right. I'll be your hippopotamus.
Although she's probably not a little girl anymore. That's not a new song.
No. No, I would imagine she's probably...
She's probably not with us anymore.
Maybe.
That song's got to be old, no?
Yeah, it's old. That's definitely old.
So, I mean, she sounds young in that song, but she probably had a very full life and she's moved on.
Yeah, I don't know why we want to be morbid now.
That's not
just
morbid.
Pretend like she's alive and doing really well.
Because I don't pretend. That's why.
Maybe she dates the older gentleman that tried to fight you at the Seder.
He didn't. I don't think there was a fight.
I think he wanted a piece.
I got to be honest with you. As far as an older gentleman is concerned, he's not exactly a pushover.
No, I think he wanted, like, he was feeling froggy a little bit because he's like, this thing was supposed to start at 7:30. I got to wait now till at least 8:45. I mean, this guy's here watching, you know, Yankee highlights. Like, let's mix
all
it up.
I was doing, well, and it was like a 12-second look. It's like phone out. Where are we at? Fourth inning. Boom. Put it away. And like, how dare you? By the way, the hippopotamus lady is alive and well.
See, I told you.
She's 79 years old.
That's a young woman right there.
That's nice. I'm glad she's still with us.
Maybe she's down at the Villages. Who knows?
Causing all sorts of havoc at the Villages. All right. 1-800-919-3776. Now, I want to spend a minute on this. Mike Bossy. Now, before we even dive into the thing that bothered me so much from this weekend with that, did you know Bossy?
I did.
So you actually had a personal connection with him.
I did. He was a legend, man. I mean, it was just being around him was a little bit different just because of the player that he was and a career that got cut way too short.
Way too short. So he played for, I think, 10 seasons.
10, yep.
And scored 573 goals on average, 57 goals a year. And he's the only player ever to have 9 consecutive 50-plus goal seasons.
Yeah, nothing like bursting onto the scene with 53, followed up by 69.
Oh. And was he the, because I remember it was a big deal, he had 50 and 50. I think he was the first player ever to do that. And I think the next year, Gretzky had like 50 and 34. But that was a big deal at the time.
Well, of course it was. I mean, especially at his, I mean, to just jump into the league and score the way he scored. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, I mean, you mentioned it, 573 goals. I mean, he was done at 30 years old. At 30, he was done.
Back injury, right?
Yeah, he had back problems.
Yeah. Wow. What a career. I will tell you this, and it's sad with what's happening with all these guys from the Islanders teams in the early 80s. I don't think that we give them enough credit. Like, we'll talk about it. We'll mention them. But, I mean, Mike Bossy, if Mike Bossy was a Ranger, it would be so much bigger. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. It's just like, I don't think we discuss them and give them the credit that they deserve because they were on a team that might not be as popular as other teams in New York.
Well, you're talking about one of the greatest teams in the history of professional sports, not just hockey, right?
Bar none.
But I don't think you're all the way wrong. I think you're probably 100% right. Like, if the Rangers went on the kind of run that the Islanders went on, and you start talking about, you know, oh, man, I mean, Gillies, Nystrom, Dennis Potvin, Billy Smith, Mike Bossy. I mean, just the list of all-time greats that were on those teams, man. I mean, part of the problem, too, was there was a disconnect, right? Like, that was one of the things that was unfortunate when I first got to the Islanders. And I don't know what the reason was behind it, but there wasn't. Those guys weren't around as much as they should have been around.
Well, they should have had. I mean, it should go from generation to generation.
Yeah.
Like the way you see Messier around the Rangers. And Richter was at the game the other night, got a huge ovation. Like, that's Adam Graves, employed by the organization. That's what it should have been.
Exactly right.
And that's not what it was.
No, because when you get a chance to sit down with those guys at, like, you know, after a game or at a golf tournament or whatever it ends up being, I mean, to sit down and really, you know, pick their brains and hear some of the stories about those teams, it's incredible. But that's what, I mean, that's kind of what you hope for, right? When you have a team as successful as that team was, that would carry its way through. But it's, for some reason,
it didn't. It feels like it is more now. And I guess lung cancer was the cause of death. And I've had a lot of people tell me over the last 72 hours.
He was a heavy smoker.
That he was always smoking.
Yeah, he was a heavy smoker.
Always smoking. Now, I need to
smoke in between periods, Dave.
That is obscene to me.
No, I'm not even joking. Like, guys would go in the bathroom during intermissions and smoke cigarettes.
I don't understand how you could be a world-class athlete and smoke.
Yeah, I never understood it either. But guys used to do that.
You ever see the one of Len Dawson on the sideline with the Chiefs smoking a cigarette?
Yeah.
It's remarkable. I don't want to spend too much time on it, and I do want to get back to Kyrie and the Nets and that what was a great game yesterday. And you know I love the Rangers, and I know you joke about it, but you do know I love them. I was so disappointed in the Rangers this weekend. They did nothing on the passing of Mike Bossy. Not a moment of silence, nothing. Where it seemed like almost every team in the league did something for him.
It would have been nice. It would have been nice. Because he was, I mean, he's one of the greatest goal scorers in the history of hockey.
I think he's still like 22nd all time.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, the guy averaged 57 goals a season, man. I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time. So, yeah, some recognition would have been nice.
Would have been nice. A moment of silence. That's it. And listen, you hate them. I get it. It's healthy respect. It's a team that you dislike, that you detested. But I think you have to.
Yeah, but it's a chance to recognize his greatness, though. That's what it is.
And he was. I mean, you had it in Ottawa. You had it all around the National Hockey League. But nothing with the Rangers, I thought was. And I'll be honest with you. I was embarrassed about it. I was.
You know what was funny, too? And this used to drive him crazy. Was that, like, Snowy would bust his chops. And, you know, Boss would be around. And Snowy would say to him, I don't know who you're kidding. With goalies as good as they are now, you'd score like 20 goals now. And Boss used to go crazy. He's like, I'll score 50 on anybody.
I think he's probably right.
I think he's right, yeah.
All right, so let's get back into the Nets and the Celtics from last night. DPH Rothenberg is always presented by Progressive Insurance. Kyrie, I can't even say lost his mind because that's kind of Kyrie. Like, that's what he does. I don't know that a lot of players would have reacted the way he did, but that's what he does, and you can say what you want about him. It certainly didn't affect his performance in the negative. If anything, it might have made him better.
Well, that's the thing, though, right? You don't see that. I mean, he says he does it. You know, we just don't catch it, but, I mean, he went. I mean, you had the double birds behind the head, then you had the finger running up.
And the fake crying on the side.
The fake crying, and then afterwards you had, I mean, what are what they said to him? And then he just laid it out, told you exactly what they said to him, swearing. But I'll tell you what, I came out of that impressed because that would not be how I would handle it, just because I would be concerned that, you know, I'm wasting too much energy on that and not really focused on what I'm doing, and I don't want it to affect my performance. But I think you said it, man. That looked like it motivated him.
It sure did. But you don't have a problem. Like fans are going to always do this. Is it, and maybe it's not, I'm asking you, is it not the athlete's responsibility to be better? Is it the what the athlete should do to stoop to the level of the immature fan?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I mean, and I know we go through this all the time, though, with, you know, we're, you know, professional athletes aren't supposed to be role models, but the reality is they are role models. So, I mean, all the kids at that game that saw that happen, I mean, that's not a great look. But, I mean, if you're Kyrie and you're willing to pay the fine and it doesn't affect how you play, I guess it's all right. But, I mean, I just said that wouldn't be how I chose to do it.
Well, let me ask you this. Why? Why wouldn't you choose? Because do you think that you would want to be better? Like, what's the rationale behind you would not react like that?
Well, I don't think it's a great look. But I also think that it could go the opposite way in a hurry. Like, I was never one to do a lot of trash talking or anything else, just because I felt like I got to focus on what I'm doing. And then if I come out of that and start, you know, trash talking or going back at fans or whatever it is, and it affects my play, then I look like the idiot because I let it get to me, and now they got exactly what they wanted.
It's amazing to me that he can, whatever you want to call it, stoop to that level or you know, get down and dirty with the fans or whatever you want to consider it, and still not have it have one negative impact on his game, that he's able to play like that. It is remarkable.
It was the opposite. I mean, when you saw him in the, 18 points in the fourth quarter, went on an 8-0 run himself. Like, it's, he fed off of it. And it's going to be worse. I guarantee it's going to be worse in game two.
Well, that's what he did. By interacting with the fans and doing that, it only adds fuel to the fire, where you're going to get a more vocal, insane fan on Wednesday night in Boston.
But I guess part of it, I mean, like, don't we always hear that, though, in the NBA? And I don't know what the reason is, but, like, you know, role players play better at home. So the fact that all the attention is now just on one person, maybe it frees up everybody else a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's paying attention to just Kyrie, and the fact that he can handle it, that's great, and it kind of frees everyone up a little bit.
Maybe. I mean, they need that, certainly. The Bruce Browns and the Drummonds and the Claxtons of the world have to play better basketball in game two.
Yeah, and KD's got to shoot better, and I'm sure will.
Well, KD will. I'm not worried about him.
I mean, Seth Curry didn't have a point in the second half.
Which is unacceptable.
That's unacceptable.
But here's the thing. They shot 54% from the floor?
They shot well. And Kevin Durant did not shoot well.
Right. They shot well. He was phenomenal, Kyrie. Durant was not. They had that game. They let it slip away. I think mentally they're fine. Like, I think they'll be fine. Now, whether they go out and win game two is another story. But mentally, for losing a game like that, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, it sucks, obviously. And the fact that you have to wait till Wednesday is even worse. But, I mean, had this been the opposite, where the Nets get the one-point win, I mean, that would be tough to get up from if you're the Celtics.
I think if that would have happened and you blew that lead, you might be on the verge. But it didn't, and Boston's alive and well, and it was a great game.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.